SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. We bring in Brian Ciano, a.k.a. Mafia. Mafia, do me a favor. Pick up that gigantic tumbler you were drinking out of. Show everyone that that tumbler real quick. I just want people to know that that was filled with Patron less than 30 seconds ago, all the way to the top. He's pretending like he's not nervous for Saturday, his wedding, but he's actually been drinking tequila for over 36 straight hours. Very stressed out. But he's doing a great job running the show, hammered. I just wanted to say that and let people know the truth behind the scenes at Coast to Coast. All right, Moth, UFC fight night, Felder, Dos Anjos. Should we be excited for Saturday?
For the whole card? Hell no. For that fight, yeah, it should be a pretty interesting fight. You know, Felder's coming in here, this guy who really was supposed to be the broadcaster of the fight. He's supposed to be the color commentator. He hasn't done much fighting recently. He talked about, you know, he's only taking big fights here or there. Just fought back in February. Split decision loss to Dan Hooker, who then we saw go fight against Poirier. So we know how tough that guy is. So to get a split decision loss is no easy feat against him. Before that, beat Edson Barboza, beat James Vick. So, you know, he's a guy that's still a tough guy, even though he's in 35, 36 years old right now. Dos Anjos is a guy who's coming in here after losing his last two, four of his last five, moves back down to lightweight where he was so good for so long. You know, those losses up at 170 were against a lot of the top guys in that division. So now he's coming back down, and this fight fell apart last minute, and, you know, you got your boy stepping up in there at Felder. Usually this would be something more to worry about with the guy trying to cut, you know, that much weight on 5 days' notice. But apparently what I found out is that Felder has been training for a triathlon. So the guy was already doing ridiculous training to try to get ready for this triathlon. So instead of being 185, 190, 195, he was still in the 170s. So dropping down to 155 isn't going to be as bad for him as it would have been for someone else. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, it's going to be a stand-up fight between these two guys. They're both going to battle. They're both going to mix it up. And the odds are kind of definitely shading towards Dos Anjos. I thought they'd go back the other way and be a little closer by the end of the week. But right now, as we stand, minus 210 for Dos Anjos, plus 168 for Felder. But they think it's going the distance. Because will it go the distance is minus 174 for yes. And how the fight will end points is minus 190 for FanDuel. So they're thinking either way, you're going to get a decision out of this. So, you know, if you're going to go bet on FanDuel, make sure you get that decision defense. Opt in on that. Because if it's not a unanimous decision, if it's split like Felder's last two fights have been, or it's a majority, you get money back. So I'm leading Felder. I'm going to go take the risk here. Plus 168, I like him. I think him coming in last minute is going to throw Dos Anjos off. I think he's a little bit, you know, more crisp in his striking right now than Dos Anjos has been. So I'm going to roll with him in this fight as the underdog.
Beautiful. How about Cub Swanson? Layoff for at least a year, but he's going to be at 256 taking on Daniel Pineda.
Speaking of guys that probably should, you know, hang it up at this point, Cub Swanson is always a guy that people love watching and people have, you know, that soft spot for him for all those days in the WEC watching him back when the channel was Versus or the Outdoor Fishing Network, whatever it was, back when, you know, WEC before it was bought out by the UFC. You know, that's where Cub Swanson made his bones, and he would get in there and just battle and brawl with anybody. He had great fights with Uriah Faber and those guys in that division. Then came to the UFC and did a lot of the same kind of things. But, you know, since he's been in the UFC, since they bought out the WEC, he just hasn't been the same guy. He hasn't been the top-level competitor that he was. You know, he's gotten older. He's taken a lot of abuse over the years. So him coming back after a year layoff, it's kind of like, well, should you really be coming back? You know, I think at this point in his career, he's fun to watch, but he doesn't get the W's anymore. Why keep coming in there and just taking the beatings that you do? I think it's time for him to consider, you know, putting the gloves in the middle of the mat and walking away maybe.
So, you know, it's going to be up against the UFC this Saturday, the T-Bud and Kell Brook fight. I want to talk about that in a second with you and get into some boxing. But I want to welcome in our radio affiliates on Sports Grid Radio. Get SportsGridRadio.com, the Sports Grid Radio app. Check out our shows 2 to 4 East, our Sports Grid Radio Overnights, Pharrell and Avenge, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. And our YouTube page, search Sports Grid Radio. You can watch the shows for free. Just subscribe. It's a piece of cake. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 p.m. East, 7 West. We're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Good to have you with us today. So our buddy T-Bud, Terrence Crawford, is fighting Kell Brook on Saturday. And all I have to say is Crawford's going to beat that ass.
Yeah, he is. You know, Brook 5'7", maybe 10 years ago, you know, might have had a better chance, but still I would have taken Crawford. You know, Kell Brook was at the height of his game back then. I don't think he's where he was at the upper level of these divisions anymore. And I think T-Budge is going to be too much for him. You know, this guy is a badass. He comes in there with that killer instinct and, of course, has the greatest laugh in all of boxing.
So let's talk Canelo. He's going to fight Calum Smith in December. Date not finalized, but the fight is, and they may even put it on DAZN. I'd be surprised because he just broke off from DAZN and Golden Boy. I just want to watch the guy fight. I don't care who his promoter is.
Well, you know, he's probably going to put up the highest bidder, and that's the thing it's going to be because, you know, he lost all his money of not fighting. These big contracts that he had with DAZN and Golden Boy, the $300 million he was supposed to make over these six fights or whatever it was. I mean, the guy was supposed to be just counting stacks, and it hasn't happened because they haven't put him in there. He's just going to take whatever TV deal he can, I think, at the highest price because you're not going to get fans in there. Caleb Smith fight, it's like, really, that's the one you pick? I thought there were other guys out there that would have been a more enticing matchup for him, but, you know, he's just going after the money right now, so whoever wants to put it on, he'll take their cash.
Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. I agree. Errol Spence is still the top dog. It'll be interesting to see how he does after the car crash, how he looks fighting Danny.
Yeah, if he's anywhere near what he was before the car crash, obviously he's still definitely better than Danny Garcia. Garcia's, you know, fast. He has some knockouts, but he hasn't been the same over these last couple of years. I think that your boy is definitely Errol Spence, a lot faster, a lot tougher, a lot stronger. If he's where he was, that's the thing, is we don't know what he's, you know, conditioning and stuff is like coming off that long layoff from the injuries.
10 seconds. Bellator Grand Prix tonight, I think, on CBS Sports Network. Is that tonight?
Yeah, but not worth betting. Patricio Freire is minus 750. The only way you're going to make any money is throwing it on the underdog, and he ain't going to win.
There you go. All right, Mafia, good job. Have some more Patron.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. We bring in Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. You can follow him at Kaplan NFL on Twitter. And he's always on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I don't even know what day it is. I think it's Thursday. It must be because the Masters is going on and the sun is still up in Augusta, Georgia. And it's pitch black here in New York City. In Philadelphia, they haven't seen the sun in over 5 years. Here's Adam. Let's start talking about the Titans and Colts tonight. We just found out that FanDuel has the Colts favored in this game now at -1. When it opened up, it was Titans -2. Adam, are you surprised?
I am. There's no injury of note. Clowney's going to play tonight. He took his first team reps and Tuesday's long practice and went for the walkthrough on Wednesday. There's no reason to think that he wouldn't play. So I don't know what it could be. That is odd. That is odd that it would swing like that. You know, the Colts, by the way, Jack Doyle will not play tonight. It was one of their tight ends, but they come in pretty healthy. They obviously did not play well against the Ravens. The Ravens had a good win last week in Indy. I don't quite understand that one. That's a little baffling to me.
So explain to me, we've tried to figure it out all week on the show about how the Colts are using three backs and that this Taylor kid out of Wisconsin, who was the bulk heavy load guy in Madtown for the Badgers, just got better as the games went on. He just was unstoppable in college. In the pros, are they not impressed with him in Indy because they're using three guys? They obviously don't like giving him the rock that much.
Yeah, so what happened? Let's go back to the start of the year. Marlon Mack, who was their starter for the beginning of the season, he suffered a torn Achilles. He's out for the season. Jonathan Taylor was drafted to take his job, to be their bell cow back. You're right about that. There's no question. He is a power back who needs volume carries to be effective. Unfortunately, he's been very inconsistent. He's got to catch the ball when you ask him to do it, but he's there to be their primary first and second down back. it really hasn't worked out for him so far. They got Jordan Wilkins in, who's been with them since 18. He's been backing him up. He's been getting more work and more work. Taylor did have a minor ankle injury. He's fine. He's not even on the injury report this week. And Nyheim Hines is their third down back, and they use him sort of outside formation. But for whatever reason, they will not commit to Jonathan Taylor. And what I find funny about it is Frank Reich talks about every week, their head coach, but how they have to run the ball more. He's this big balance guy. He's one of those coaches who wants to run the ball a lot. So if you want to do that, you've got to give it to Jonathan Taylor. And quite frankly, this game tonight would be that. You know what? The Titans are coming in. They're coming in off the bus running the football with Derrick Henry. So this would be a good opportunity on the grass in Nashville to run the football. But quite frankly, when you talk to people who've watched them, Taylor has not been super impressive. But I would argue, why don't you commit to him, give him volume carries, then see if he can handle it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that idea. That's exactly what I would do, and for some reason they're not. Do you buy into the talk that Philip Rivers is starting to look washed and that he's not effective and that they're not going anywhere with him?
The issue, Pharrell, is not so much Rivers. It's the receiver core. T.Y. Hilton, who will play tonight, he has a groin injury. He didn't play last week. He's now 30 years old, clearly on the downside of his career. Michael Pittman Jr., their second-round pick, who they love, unfortunately, he had that compartment surgery on his leg. He missed a bunch of weeks. He just got back last week. So they got to get him re-involved in the offense. They need more explosiveness. They're not getting it. Their offensive line's great. Pass protection, they're really, really good. But they're not getting the big plays out of their pass game. That's where they got to get it. And it's got to start tonight with T.Y. Hilton. Whatever he could give them, they've got to get it. The big issue for now is not their defense. Their front four is phenomenal, one of the best front fours in the National Football League. It's their offense and the lack of explosive plays in the pass game.
Are they make or break right now with these three games? The Colts play the Titans, and then on the road, then they play the Packers, then they play the Titans in Indianapolis. Where are they getting two wins of these three games? Because they're not winning all three, are they?
Yeah, right. But I'll tell you this about the Colts. Ton of respect around the league for this football team, the way that they're coached. Matt Eberflus, their D coordinator, will probably be a head coaching candidate next year. Their defense is good. It keeps them in games. Remember, they had a really good win at the Bears. I talked to the Bears about that game. They were blown away about how good their defense was. So they'll stay in every game, Pharrell. But to me, and we saw it against the Ravens, who have a great defense, they've got trouble scoring. And I get your question. 2-3 is realistic. 3-0 is not. But it does start tonight. This is a game they really have to have if they want to hang in there for the division lead.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, I could see them beating them in Indy, but I don't see them beating the Packers and this team back-to-back. Tonight they better try to grab this. I am surprised they're favored. Niners banged up on both sides of the ball as they head into this game on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. 9.5 was the early FanDuel number. I have to tell you, the Saints look like they should be able to rock the Niners with what San Francisco puts out on the field. It was easy pickings last week against the Niners. They look terrible right now.
No, just like I said, I thought that you would ask me last week, and I said that game should be a blowout. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at this situation, Garoppolo's not playing. He's on IR with his high ankle sprain. Raheem Mostert remains on IR with his high ankle sprain. Tevin Coleman is backup, won't play this week because of his knee problem. Deebo Samuel is still questionable with his hamstring strain. Kendrick Bourne, who's been starting on the outside, he's still on the reserve COVID list, so they don't know if they're going to have him. Remember, this is the second time he's been put on there. The problem with the Niners is this. All of the injuries, probably the worst injury situation in the National Football League, the COVID issues, they don't have their starting quarterback. They lost, obviously, Nick Bosa early in the season. That's crushed them. They just cannot withstand all of these injuries, Pharrell. Look, every once in a while, they're competitive, and you go, oh, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. But when you don't have so many starters in your lineup, Richard Sherman, by the way, is starting to practice on defense. But when you don't have so many starters, you can't expect to win. It's not a coaching issue. It's not a scheme issue. You just don't have available players, and I agree. This should be blowout city. You know, it's hard to get blown out 2 weeks in a row, but tell me how they're going to match up against the same team that had an unbelievable win. Now, we have seen sometimes when teams find it hard to get up emotionally for 2 weeks in a row. They did against Brady, unbelievable win. Can they do it against a much lesser team where they're not even in their division? It's not always easy to do that. It sounds easy to get up for a bad team. And by the way, the Niners on defense, Kaywan Williams, a nickel corner, won't play. He's got a high ankle sprain. Jaquaski Tartt, one of their starting safeties, he just got put on IR with the last 24 hours. They're not hanging in this game for all. I'd be shocked if they come within 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, run to the window on this game and bet the Saints. I got to tell you, the way the Saints have taken over the number one spot in the NFC, now they can get a little bit of a stranglehold on it if they can go back-to-back in these games. Don't you think they look – I mean, they look fantastic against the Bucs. I've never seen Tom Brady get his ass beat like that.
One of the worst games of his career, and did you notice it was on both sides of the football? Michael Thomas's return at receiver obviously was very, very key. Alvin Kamara was unbelievable. Their offensive line was tremendous. Their defensive line. Their secondary, their much maligned secondary. Marcus Lattimore once again shut down Mike Evans. So they're playing great football, but do not count out Brady and the Bucs. They're going through a little bit of a tough spell. They barely beat the Giants. They got smoked and embarrassed at home against the Saints. If I know Bruce Arians at all, he'll get after him this week, and I expect the Bucs to bounce back.
So, respectfully, I got about 60 seconds. After what you saw Carolina do with Kansas City and what Teddy was able to accomplish at Arrowhead, do you think they can be in the game with the Bucs in Charlotte?
You know, the problem is their defense, as we saw in this game, not that anyone could slow down Patrick Mahomes, but their defense is simply not good enough. They don't have a good enough pass rush. And what Brady does when he's at his best, Pharrell, is this. Dink and dunk. Then go deep. Carolina just doesn't have the cover people. No, I expect the Bucs to bounce back in a big way this week.
So I don't know. I can't give them any juice right now. Let's say 3 weeks ago, I was thinking the Bucs have a great shot at the Super Bowl, and I just don't feel that way anymore I watched them play.
No, listen, the Saints right now are a little bit better, but I'm not counting out Tom Brady, and I'm not counting out Bruce Arians. Todd Bowles, the D coordinator, does a great job. They'll bounce back this week. I feel strongly about that one.
All right, so when we come back, we have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the Browns. They got Baker Mayfield off this COVID list. He should be able to go against Houston. They've had all kinds of problems, that football team. We're going to get into the Eagles and Giants with Adam. We're going to talk about Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, New England. How about that New England game the other night against the Jets? I told you, two great teams, it's a bad game. Two bad teams, always a great game. And that's exactly what it was. And I hit both ends of that. We're talking to Adam Kaplan on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, great stuff. Cam Stewart, top of the hour. Catch him with our boy Morenci. The two of them, unstoppable force on Game Time Decisions, rocking it out. We're talking to Adam Kaplan right now on Coast to Coast. And I want to get into the Browns a little bit with you. I know you got a lot of things to talk about with Cleveland, namely Baker Mayfield. I have to say, it's pretty obvious to me that he's, maturing, focused. There's a lot of, I know people don't like he's doing all these commercials and everything, but that's neither here nor there. When it comes to pure football as a player, as a man, as a pro, I think I'm seeing him shed some of the BS stuff and become just a pure pro quarterback.
I agree, Pharrell. And here's the thing, talking to the Browns, what they want to do this season is make it a little easier for him. Not that it'll ever be easy to play the quarterback position, but they wanted to scale back the playbook, be a power run team. Nick Chubb, who they're very hopeful could play this week. I'm told he's actually looked really good coming back from his MCL sprain. If they could get him back this week, they're going to get their tight end Austin Hooper back. They're paying a lot of money to $10.5 million a year, and he was playing very well before the emergency appendectomy. And Wyatt Teller, their guard, has been a great story with a calf strain. He missed about 6 weeks. They're hopeful to get him back. He's been a really good story for them. But if you get all these guys back, and you're talking about Mayfield working hard. He definitely has, and it means a lot to him. He's very competitive, which you love. The Browns told me that, quite frankly, if they get Chubb going the season they did, and you look at what they have in their run game, there's no question about it. They have probably one of the best 1-2 punches here in Hunt and Chubb. When you get those two guys together and you protect it and you don't turn the ball over, that's winning football, and that's what they're doing this season. Though I do have a question about their defense. I don't think it's going to be that good. That's why I think they're a fringe playoff team. But again, when you play good quarterback and you don't turn it over, you give your team a chance. Look at the Giants and look at the Eagles, the two quarterbacks with the most turnovers. That's why those two teams don't have a winning record right now.
What is Mayfield saying about his progress and about what the bye did for them and for him dealing with the COVID and everything? And then what's his reaction to the praise that Stefanski's been heaping on him?
Yeah, let's start with Stefanski. See, and Stefanski had been asked by the media about his performance, and even when Baker was struggling. See, coaches kind of know when they're in practice whether they're getting it. Now, obviously, when you watch the game tape, you'll find things that weren't good and you'll correct them. But Mayfield's been very accountable, and that's the thing that they really like about him. Talking to the Browns about him, he takes responsibility when the ball didn't go where it's supposed to, when he overthrows. And Baker talked about that with the media this week. So I do find him, and I'm glad you brought him up, because I do find him to be a fascinating player, because you mentioned all these commercials. He's still doing them. If you're watching during the games, there are tons of Mayfield commercials. But the real football time he's spending, and he's doing the right things. Listen, they would not have a winning record with him not playing better, and he's getting better. Last year, way too many turnovers, and I applaud Kevin Stefanski and their coaching staff for getting Baker to play the right way.
You know, he's talking about, I loved hearing him say, and I'm a Steeler fan, so I'm not interested in the Browns' success, but I like the way he said, I'm all about putting my head down and working. I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of room to improve. I got to stop with the turnovers. I have to make this easier on my offense, on my receivers, on my backs. I have to do a better job. I can't make mental mistakes. These are the things I think the great quarterbacks eventually, admit to their failings and how do I turn it around and focus and work and bust my ass to be great. That's why I'm noticing his change.
Yeah, because it's funny. I remember you and I were talking about the Browns when they got off that incredible start. I think they might have been 3-1, whatever it was. But they got off to this great start. In fact, they were undefeated after the first few weeks. And I had said then I did not think they were as good as their record would be, but they would still have a chance to be a wild card. And here we are, we're in week 10, and they're still really right in the thick of it to be a wild card. And he is a part of it. There's no question. He didn't play bad football. He's had a couple games that he'd probably like to have back. The Raider game, look, it was windy. What are you going to do? But he's on the right path, and I definitely agree with what you're saying and the direction that he's going.
So Adam Kaplan, of course, our NFL insider with us on Coast to Coast. Talk to me about Peterson and the Eagles and the reaction, if any, to Brett Favre talking about they should have kept Foles and got rid of Wentz. How did that go over at Eagles headquarters this week?
Well, it didn't go over very well in media here, because what happened was, I don't know if you saw it, Peterson, I happened to see it live and I was kind of shocked. Peterson, as you just brought up, those sort of the scenario that Favre gave, and instead of Peterson, who's very close to, he's very close to Favre, he could have said, listen, Brett and I are close, and he did admit that, but he never said Brett's wrong. He just said Brett's entitled to his opinion. He never shot it down, and he was given three times. My friend Tim McManus from ESPN.com asked it. Then Les Bowen of the Philadelphia Daily News asked the second question. A follow-up, hey, Doug, just want to clarify it. He said the same thing. And then Rob Motti of the Associated Press said, Doug, just want to give you a chance to make sure we got it straight here. Then he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Carson's our guy. I don't agree with Brett saying. So for whatever reason, he did it that way. And sometimes Doug Peterson says some things you scratch your head about. But there are some good stories here with the Eagles. They're going to get Miles Sanders back, I'm told, this week from his knee injury. And there's a big one on the offensive line. Isaac Seumalo, their left guard, I'm told, barring a setback, will play. He's got a knee sprain. So Farrell, as they go against the Giants, who are very healthy, by the way, both teams are probably going to have most of their starters in the lineup this week, which is not something you could say particularly with the Eagles this season.
This is going to be a huge game, I think, for both teams, and particularly for me, the Giants, because that was a huge win for them on the road in D.C. And now if they win this game, they have as many wins as the Eagles in the division. So I think this game is enormous. Now, what do you think of it in terms of its importance? And also, I know that you have factored in several games, including this game, the weather this week, that it could impact a lot of games with rain expected for that game and the Cincy-Pittsburgh-Baltimore-New England game, and then wind in Green Bay and in Cleveland. Start with your thoughts on the Giants and how important this game is for them to catch the Eagles. They have a shot.
They do. And Joe Judge, give him credit. I know the record's not great at 2-7, but they should have beaten the Bucs. They blew the game against the Eagles. Would Evan Engram drop that pass, which would have put the game away on Sunday Night Football. To me, when you really look at it, the conditions aren't great. Right now, looks like it's going to rain for most of the game. That could impact the score. I think that's a low-scoring game. So that's checked it. Obviously, you check the weather closer to the game. The Cincy-Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh, rain is expected throughout that game. The Sunday night game, the Baltimore-New England game, got to check that. And in Foxborough, over the years, I've seen wind games, man. It changes the way you throw, particularly when there's rain and wind. Now, the wind games are Jacksonville and Green Bay. We saw a couple games ago that where Minnesota came in and win. Well, it was hard to throw there. And then the Houston at Cleveland game, we saw that awful, the worst wind game, 45 to 50 mile an hour winds when the Browns lost at home to the Raiders. Well, no one could throw the football. So these games right now could be potentially impacted by wind and also rain.
Let's go back real quick before I forget. Antonio Brown's debut with the Bucs.
Yeah.
How did that go over with the Bucs and in NFL circles?
Yeah, you know, no one thinks it was an issue. He didn't complain. There were no issues. For whatever reason, the Bucs were not mentally prepared for that game. Now, Bruce Arians did talk about it, and I think it's a fair thing to point out because it's been a factor. For some reason, they have not played well at night. We mentioned the Giant game where they came out flat. They barely beat them. They blew a 13-0 lead. I remember you and I talking about that game leading up to it. I was on with you on Sports Grid. I said the Bucs will win tonight at the Bears. They're up 13-0. They blew that game, and they got absolutely embarrassed and smoked at home against the traveling Saints, their division rival, where, quite frankly, they were never even in the game. The game was over after 5 minutes. I don't think Antonio Brown, no one's told me that he's had anything to do with that. They're going to get more out of Antonio Brown going forward. You can bet on that, especially against a Carolina defense this week. The Carolina defense does not cover very well. The Carolina's got real issues in the back end, and I expect the Bucs to exploit it.
Have you been impressed with the Raiders, where they stand and what they're doing? And they got a big game with Denver this week in the West.
I have been. The defense scares me because they don't have enough talent on defense. Derek Carr, talking to the Raiders, by far the best of the 3 years with Gruden. He's processing. He's willing to let those throws get loose downfield where he was last year. The issue that I'm told Gruden had with him amongst a couple is his unwillingness to pull the trigger downfield. He's doing it this year. Nelson Agholor, former Eagles receiver, has got a new breath of fresh air there with the Raiders in Las Vegas. It's working now with Agholor and Gruden and also Derek Carr. Darren Waller, I know, is great. And Bryan Edwards, I'm told, he has a high ankle sprain. He played only one snap last week. Agholor right now may still start, but they love him out of South Carolina. It was a third-round pick. Their defense, though, needs more playmakers. They're just doing enough to win. It is impressive, but I don't think that they're that good of a football team. They're going to hang in for a wild card. And remember, they did win in Kansas City 40-32, which is almost hard to understand. But the fact of the matter is they're hanging in there. Their offense is fun, but their defense is simply not good enough because they don't have good enough players. But they're getting there, though.
Respectfully, I got 40 seconds. The Bills, a huge win over Seattle at home. Now they go to Zona. Can they get it done on the road? I really like this Buffalo team.
Yeah, weather, you don't got to worry about that inside there. So super high-scoring game. Two of the most athletic quarterbacks. I can't wait to see it. Both defenses have had their up and downs. I think this is a three-point game. And it is probably the hardest game for me to pick this week. I mean, it's got to be in the 70s, by the way. It's got to be like 40-37. I'd be shocked if either team scored under 30. Something would have to happen where there are a lot of turnovers for it not to happen.
All right, so tomorrow on Coast to Coast, Adam is promising that he'll talk about Ben Roethlisberger's knees and whether or not the Steelers are scared to death of Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs. If either one of them touches the football field, the Steelers' season goes down the drain. We'll see you tomorrow, Adam. Great job.
Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I have to say, Carver High, I am livid over the news that Joe Ranieri will not be at Mafia's wedding on Saturday. This has changed my outlook completely for Saturday's wedding festivities. We had big plans for Joe and you to drink massive amounts of shots and beers. That is out the window now. And now that your wife is not able to go, you will be driving sober. Horrible developments.
Yes, that really is the development right there, is the fact that I'm not going to be able to do any of that. That is the absolute development when you talk about the situation for Saturday. NFL action for you here, Scotty. We'll pick it up from where you and Adam left off. Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman placed on the COVID list. There was a bunch of guys throughout the league placed on that list today. Texans running back David Johnson unlikely to play Sunday due to a concussion. That's going to give your boy Duke Johnson the rock for the Texans against the Browns this week. Ravens have another positive COVID test. Team is in intensive protocol.
What a shame.
You see the Bills fans, Scotty? They've now donated over $400,000 to one of the children's hospitals in Buffalo that Josh Allen works with after his grandmother passed away over the weekend before the game with Seattle. So they all fans were donating $17 each, which, of course, Josh Allen's number, to this children's hospital in Buffalo. They've raised over 400 grand.
Bills Mafia doing it again,
Scotty.
And that guy, Josh Allen, he let the cat out of the bag. He says he wants to play in Buffalo for the rest of his career. He doesn't want to leave ever. So lock him up. I think the kid's a great quarterback.
Now, I don't know if I'm showing my age here or not. I don't know who this is. The Weeknd announces he's performing in the Super Bowl halftime show. I mean, that's a who for me. Who's The Weeknd? Listen, if I heard a song, I would know. I don't know.
He sings with a really high voice, and the girls love him. Ooh, yeah, I love you. I want to make love to you, girl.
Yeah, look, I guess whoever the kids are excited, I guess. The Weeknd announces he's performing at the Super Bowl halftime.
I'm excited,
so got all that going for you.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I wanted AC/DC, and I got The Weeknd instead.
Well, we do this every year. Me and you talk about this every year. It has now been forever since they have put, like, a legit rock and roll band in the halftime show of the Super Bowl. It's been a long time. I've advocated for a few years now that they should give the
Horrible.
Foo Fighters 1 year, that the Foo Fighters should do a Super Bowl halftime show, whether it's AC/DC, whoever. Give me some rock and roll for 1 year. Take a break from what goes on. Let's get to tonight. Tonight, Scotty, Colts and Titans in Nashville. You and Adam talked about it at the top when he joined you. Now the line at FanDuel has moved to the Colts -1 on the road favorite. I can't figure it out, Scotty. I really can't. I think the Titans are a better team than the Colts, but there you are. What do you think tonight in Nashville?
I mean, it's Titans. They're a better team, a better quarterback, better running back. I think they're going to mess with Rivers. I think the Titans win this game. And not only do I think that they can win this game, earlier we talked about the tough stretch for the Colts. I think the Colts could lose all three of these games. I think the Titans can beat them tonight. I think they can actually beat them in Indy, too. I don't disrespect the Colts' defense. I'll give you that. I think that they can cause some problems for the Titans in Indy. Tonight, I don't understand it either. I don't care what the line is. I was on the Titans when it was -2. You want to give me one, FanDuel? Go ahead. I'm on the Titans.
And one of the lowest, if you like the props, Scotty, I know a lot of our listeners and watchers do. The lowest I've seen a Derrick Henry rushing prop in a long time. I think it's 82.5. So it's very rare to get Derrick Henry that low. If you want to get involved with that tonight, that's there for you too. Jacksonville and the Packers this Sunday. The great Jake Luton is going to be starting for the Jags against Scotty, rookie out of Oregon State. And he cannot believe that he is going to be on the same field as a player that he grew up watching as a young quarterback, and that is Aaron Rodgers. Here is Jake Luton, Scotty.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. As a guy I have a lot of respect for. You know, I was a big fan of growing up and a huge fan of his game. You know, a lot of the things that he does, no one else, you know, really can do. He's a wizard with the football, you know, in a lot of ways. And you know, like I said, a lot of respect for him. It'll be really exciting to get out there and get to play ball against him.
Yeah, good luck. I'm glad you're living out your childhood fantasies. Have fun at Lambeau Field, kid. It's going to be the worst day of your life.
The Eagles go to MetLife this Sunday to take on the Giants. Remember, they played a couple weeks ago on Thursday night. The Giants blew a lead late in that game in Philly. Here is Giants coach Joe Judge, Scotty. He says we need to start finishing games, and that starts against the Eagles this week.
Well, the part that he references, last 5 minutes, the most important part in that game. We've got to finish as a team and play a complete team. You can't fall asleep on Philly. They're an explosive team. They do a great job in situations. We already knew this team's a very good team on third down in the red area in two-minute drives. They do a great job in terms of scheming you up in a game plan element. You know, Doug does a great job in terms of starting the game out fast, creating explosive plays, and really finding things that you've struggled with and looking to expose them. So, you know, look, we've known this opponent for an amount of time. You know, it really just confirms what you know about them already, about how dangerous they are and how they can score at any point in time. And you've got to really play a complete game to finish. You've got to win up front with your offensive line and your defensive line. This team can run the ball very well. They can get after your passer and stop your run game with negative plays as well. So you've got to play good up front on both sides of the ball.
I think this team, and I'm on the Eagles, and I laid it, but I think this team could break everyone's bank on Sunday. I think the, you know, Giants should have beat the Eagles the first time when they played them at MetLife. They had them by the throat. They were up 21-10, whatever it was. I think they can actually beat them in Philly. So I went with Philly. I'm scared to death of that game. That could be the ticket ripper right there.
That's got to be the most positive 45 seconds of Eagle talk I've heard in months, Scotty, the way Joe Judge was just talking about the Eagles there. Tampa Bay Bucks, they got blasted by the Saints last week at home. This week, another division game in Carolina to take on the Panthers. Here is head coach Bruce Arians saying that they have moved on, Scotty, from the ass beating that they got last week.
Yeah, 24-hour rule. That game's over. You know, we got a heck of an opponent in Carolina, so you have money to lick your wounds, and Tuesday you get ready to start for the next one. And that's the beauty of coaches and players. We don't have to worry about the rest of – everybody has to worry about it for a week. We go back to work. We're on to the next one.
Yeah, sure. No one's going to forget that game. That was unbelievable watching your team get bent over and spanked and called Charlie 38-3. I'm surprised they even got the field goal.
The Miami Dolphins riding high right now after a win in Arizona last week. They are in the playoff picture in the AFC, only a game and a half out of the lead in the AFC East as well. They have the Chargers coming to Miami. Head coach Brian Flores, Scotty, does not want the hype to get to his players. They need to stay grounded. Here's Flores.
Good luck with that.
We all understand. I understand that it's there, that you know, we're being talked about, but really, the only thing that matters is what's going on in our building. I'm not sure how much anyone outside of our building really actually knows that's going on inside the building. So the way we practice, the way we prepare, how we walk through, the only people who can really tell them the truth about, you know, how they played in a game or how they played in practice or, you know, how they did in a meeting is the people that are here. So that's kind of my message. You know, I'm going to tell them the truth. I mean, I'm not going to blow smoke up anyone's behind. I think they know that.
I mean, what is this, the CIA? The secret meetings and no one knows what we're doing? Like, stop. I mean, no one really cares about what you're doing at your facilities and in your practices. But people are interested in Tua. Get used to it. It's not going to change, Brian. And here's the other thing. We are interested in the way your football team is performing at a high level. They've been very exciting, and they look like a playoff team to me. And I think, you know, the Bills should be worried about the Dolphins, the way they're playing. But all this secretive stuff, you know, he's trying to sound like Belichick. Stop. Just keep being your own man. You're doing a great job. Don't turn into a phony.
Well, he is from the Belichick tree, Scotty, of course, former assistant with Bill Belichick in New England. He's going to follow a little bit of his beats. The Bills will try to do exactly what the Dolphins did last week, win at Arizona against Kyler Murray. Bills head coach Sean McDermott says that is going to be a very tough chore. Murray has been very good so far. Here's McDermott.
It is.
They're all in the mobile category. I'd say this one is the most mobile that we will have faced to this point. So, you know, they're all individually different from one another, just in some different ways. So nonetheless, it's a challenge. And, you know, he's a special player that's, you know, they're scoring, I think, the third most points in the league or fifth most points in the league. So they're an explosive offense, and we've got to be on our game defensively.
Look, I'm on the Bills in this game, but I'm scared to death because the thing that worries me, Carver High, is that they lost the close game at home to Miami, and I have a hard time believing that they're going to lose another one at home. And that's as simple as it gets because I think they're a really exciting football team. I think the Bills have their hands full. I think the Bills are better than the Arizona Cardinals top to bottom. But this is going to be a very difficult game for the Bills to win. I rolled the dice with Buffalo here and took the 1.5 and the money line.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right, Scotty. This is a very tough spot for them. They're not, you don't want to say looking ahead to the bye after this. They just got a huge win against Seattle. I'm sure that McDermott and his guys probably thought if we could split these Seattle and Arizona games, that would be pretty good for us going into the bye. So now they're going to try to get this a little greedy this weekend in Arizona on the road and see if they can handle that. But it should be fun with those two quarterbacks going at it. The Seahawks, we just mentioned them. They got beat up by the Bills last week. They faced the Rams, big divisional game in the NFC West. Pete Carroll has been waiting all year for his defense to turn it around. He says that it's just around the corner, Scotty. It's about to happen. Here's Pete Carroll.
Okay. I don't mind, you know, telling you that, you know, that accepting it, that's my job to get this thing done ultimately. And so, I'm the first one to tell you that. We just have to keep coming together. We have to get this thing really cleaned up. And again, unfortunately, the continuity has not been a positive factor for us yet. And so hopefully we can find a way to fit together and get our new guys in there and get them playing really well and error free and to their nature and to utilize their talents and all that, and we'll see a turn. This is the halfway point, you know, and this is kind of a marker. I would really like to see us turn it. You've seen us already adjust some in how we're doing our calls and stuff, and that's, we're just trying to fit it together to maximize.
They're a very hard team to put away, to beat. I'm telling you, they're going to be there when it matters in the postseason. And they gave him a fat new deal. That guy's going to coach into his 70s up in the Pacific Northwest. What do you got on my guy, the general, Mike Tomlin?
Yes, Mike Tomlin today, Scotty. Here he is talking about Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow. Says that Joey Covers has been very good. He's been impressed with the number one overall pick. Here is Tomlin.
Man, been really impressed with their quarterback, Joe Burrow. He's as good as advertised. His physical talents are one thing, and you know, they're rock solid, man. This guy can make every throw. His accuracy is exceptional. He's a good decision maker. He's a fluid decision maker. His mobility is really underrated. He's an easy mover. He can escape and create. They also have some design quarterback runs that are challenging in the red area and so forth. But the most impressive thing has been, you know, his charisma or his moxie or his competitive spirit. It's obvious that he's an energy bringer. It's obvious that he brings the best out in his teammates, man, and they're really getting a good vibe off of his play and his energy.
They should have a picture of Tomlin next to the word energy in the dictionary. I think I gave you Dallas last week would give the Steelers problems and cover. I think the Bengals are going to do the same thing. Pittsburgh wins this game, a fat 8 spot or whatever it is now on FanDuel. I'm going to lap it up. I like the Bengals on the other side. I'm in the middle of this game. I think Burrow's going to sling it all day. And we'll see if the Steelers pass rush can get to him.
Joey Covers, be careful. Joey Covers, he gets it done every week for the Bengals. It seems he's like, Scotty, I don't want to go near him.
I don't want to go near him either. I want to sack his ass.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Carver High, are the NHL minions going to shorten the season, and are the Mighty Ducks actually bringing back the Duck jerseys?
Yep, the Wild Wing that jumps out of the pond, that jersey that they wore around 95-96, they are bringing that back this year. So get ready, the Wild Wing smashing through the ice, that is back. Every team is going to have these retro wear jerseys this year. Even new teams like Vegas, they're going to wear some hideous red jersey. They just gave him a gold one. They got to give him a red one too. So Vegas is going to have several jerseys this year. As far as the NHL goes, Scotty, I didn't hear good things today. I saw a few people that cover the league saying there are still owners who do not want to play if they can't have fans in arenas. I saw the talk of the schedule being bumped down to 35 to 40 games. Yes, I saw this today. So Gary Bettman's got a lot of work to do to get this season off the ground, because it sounds like there's still a lot of moving parts.
Well, Miami Hoops opener against Stetson canceled because of COVID. Christian Pulisic departs Team USA to go back to Chelsea to rehab his hammy. This guy's hamstrings, I mean, it's just become an issue, hasn't it? Tiger Woods' former mistress, Rachel Uchitel, going to be on HBO, a documentary about sleeping with Tiger. Who cares anymore about her and his affairs? I'm glad he got a little. Bill Maher, Anthony Scaramucci going to make big money off of contributing to the Mets' financial problems after Bernie Madoff ripped them off, the Wilpons. Maher and Scaramucci going to make a ton of money on the back end of that deal. And Kentucky football O-line coach John Schlarman passes away at 45 after a battle with cancer. All right, the Masters first round was awesome. The leaderboard is stacked. We got Colts Titans tonight, Colorado State and Boise State. I'll see you on the bench at 10 p.m. East. Coming up, Game Time Decisions with Morency and Cam Stewart on Sports Grid. Have a great night, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.